Danilana Kitchen talks about food. Danilana Kitchen talks recipes. Danilana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Danilana Kitchen. Here we are in beautiful downtown Ames at the KHOR Community Radio Station. And we get together here every Tuesday, live at noon, live, folks, live without a net. We just dive into this. This is community radio, and we talk about food. We talk about farming. We talk about advice, recipes, and opinions. And
gardening.
And gardening and eating. We do like eating. We do like eating.
And we often eat on air, and we're going to eat on air today.
It's a show that Donna has been looking forward to. This is community radio. We get by with a little help from our friends.
Yes, support comes from Wheatsfield Co-op, your full-service natural foods grocery in Ames. Community-owned, community-focused since 1974. Open daily, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., located downtown at 413 Northwestern, just off Main Street in Ames. Everyone can shop Wheatsfield Co-op.
And we do. Well, this is Iowa. This is summer. The gardens are popping. Tomatoes are making us all smile.
And I think we're getting just the right amount of rain. Is that true?
It's funny. Rain, if you look at those weather maps and these little blobs go through, at our farm, we seem to have missed a lot of the rain.
You didn't get the early morning rain
today?
Oh, yeah,
we got the rain today. There were storms, and they all kind of went around our farm. That happens. That happens. A thunderstorm is not always kind to everybody, but things are good. Everything's
green. How are the 31 varieties of tomatoes doing?
Not bad.
I'm really, happy about that.
They're pretty good. Well, I mentioned that Donilana Kitchen, we come to you live every Tuesday at noon. And if you can't get enough of us, we are repeated 7 p.m. in the evening on Tuesday. Or you can connect up with your social media magic stuff and go to khoifm.org, stream, dip into the archives, do whatever you do with that stuff, listen to us anytime, and find out lots of other good shows on this radio station. Today.
Okay. We have in the studio with us two gentlemen who came bearing food. Oh, boy, oh, boy. We have Chad Watkins, who is the co-owner with Alex Miller. Did I say that right? Millen. Oh, can't even read my own writing. And they are from Battle Cry, Iowa Smokehouse and Bar. And Chad also brought Caleb Swank Ferreira. Did I say that right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you did.
Who is the chef there? So this is the famous Battles, Iowa restaurant with a new opening out in the Northern Lights. Northern Lights Shopping Center. There we go. Which is on the very north end of town, and for me, a rather convenient location. So I went there the other night at the urging of Lana's husband Joe, who kept saying, "You got to go try this food. It's really good. It's all local." So Chad, tell us a little bit about how you came up with incorporating the history of Mr. Battle's famous smokehouse and then using local product.
We were doing the barbecue restaurant on Welch for, I've been running it for 6.5 years, and our location has been purchased by Come and Go, so we needed to move to a new location. And I thought, you know, there's not really a good place in town to eat a good burger, and there's not really too many places that do just local food. And especially when you think barbecue, you don't think local food.
No, but it's so local.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, really, that's historical.
Yep. When you think pork
Iowa
and beef
tastes.
In Iowa, you think Iowa. Or
yeah,
when you think
beef,
pork and beef for barbecue, you think Iowa. So,
I mean, we're not talking Tex-Mex here. This is the Iowa version.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So it started, it's Battle Cry now. But it started out as Battle's Barbecue. There was this gentleman called George. Do you know anything about George?
Very little about George.
Yeah.
I ate there probably once or twice when he was running it, and it was phenomenal food. And
he's a legend.
Absolutely.
And when was this? Maybe in the 80s he started doing this?
I've looked it up a couple times, and it's hard to tell exactly, but early 80s to mid 80s is kind of what we found.
Mm-hmm. And he started a good tradition here, and you are taking it on and going with it, running with it. That's great.
So what's the continuity, his smoking technique?
So the thing that we pay tribute towards George is the barbecue sauce. It is, as far as we know, the exact same sauce that he was using when he was making it. Traditional barbecue people don't really write down recipes, so I think George was just making it by memory every time.
And, you just throw this little this,
yeah,
that,
by
in the
taste,
pot.
Right, just by
right,
taste.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, we have their smoker that he was using at that restaurant, but almost everything we've taken and kind of made it our own.
So you did some extrapolations.
Absolutely.
But it's obviously close enough to the authentic product that you're using his name.
Correct, yep.
Good. Good for you. And then tell us about the local aspect for your food procurement.
So, you know, just how we touched on the pork and beef being the best that you can get in Iowa, there's lots of great farms around here. So we're not just using Iowa products because it's close and it's convenient. We're using it because it is the best we can get. So in our burgers, you know, we're using beef from local farms in Tama, Iowa, and Grand Junction. Mm-hmm. We're using pork from Nevada. We're using greens from Salama in Boone, and then from Lana as well. We're using her husband's Onion Creek farm, so we're using lots of different greens and lots of different and meats from Iowa.
So, how are you aggregating all of this? are you getting a lot of meat? Like, I think Story City Locker
is where we're getting all of our meat processed.
Great.
Yeah. It's tough to coordinate all of the deliveries from all the different vendors, but, you know, we're making it all work right now.
Yes. You are going the extra mile and contacting producers individually. You don't have the big industrial truck move back up to your door and
Cisco
dump off.
Doesn't yeah. just arrive and deliver
everything.
It.
Yeah.
They do a little bit of stuff that we can't get
well, sure,
locally.
Sure,
but yeah, a majority of it is getting from Story City Locker and from local vendors, yes.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
So tell us, for example, about your beef that's coming from Tama.
So the beef, you know, we use mostly brisket. That's probably our most popular meat right now. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, we get that and smoke it for, I would say, about 10 and a half hours. It's kind of neat because we have the brisket, but we use two different types of the brisket, the flat and the point, and we make two different items out of it. So one is the smoked brisket sliced sandwiches, and then the top part is what we call beef burn ends.
Oh, talk about the beef burn ends.
They're
highly recommended.
Phenomenal. So we split off the point from the flat, and then we smoke the point for probably about 2.5 hours longer. At that point, we trim more of the fat off and then add our own special dry rub seasoning. It's a nice mix of a sweet and spicy, and then we smoke it for another hour after that before cutting it into cubes.
Good.
Yum.
Since you are working with Story City Locker, another local institution, do you ask them to butcher or prepare meat in a different way than we could get off of a large order industrial truck?
Yeah.
Are there things that you do special?
Special cuts.
Yeah. So, you know, one thing they've done for us is, you know, they do the loin. They've done that separately for us that we've used for the beef. We still haven't had an item that we use on the menu for it, but there are things that we can experiment with. And they make a delicious jerky as well that we've been using. But yeah, it's kind of a work in progress because we don't have a lot of experience working with meat lockers. So they kind of come up with some ideas for us too that say, hey, you might want to try this thing. And you know, we trust them because they're the experts.
So what can you tell us about your beef farmer? How is the beef raised and cared for? And
So all the cattle from Grand Junction, which is where we get a lot of our beef, it is all grass-fed cows, and so we, you know, we get the best cows from the best farmers.
So your meat, so if essentially they're not being fed corn rations and things like that?
Correct.
Wow. Now I'm really impressed. I think I'll just eat there every day.
It's the kind of food I like. It always tastes good. Give us an idea. How many cows do you need to get through a week or through a month?
So you're only using the brisket and the ground, right?
I have no idea. How much meat do you go through?
I would say we probably go through at least 1 to 2 cows a week.
Oh, my.
With the brisket, we're going through, 40 pounds of ground and then hundreds of pounds of brisket. It's amazing.
What happens to the rest of the cow?
You know, the meat locker stores it and keeps it for us until we need it.
So you're using all are you putting a lot of it into ground or?
We're putting more of it into ground right now, and that's something that, you know, we're working with them to help us, give us ideas that we can better use more of the cow. So we're not just using a lot of the ground. But until we come up with better ideas, yeah, we're using more of the ground than we would like.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, what about pigs? Where do
pigs
come from?
They come from Trinity Farms in Nevada.
Oh, yay. That's where I like to buy, too. One of my favorite
wonderful
places.
Pigs. The happiest pigs you'll find.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, no wonder that barbecue sandwich was so good. Well, this is fantastic. So Caleb, who is the chef,
yes,
talk about a little bit about what it's like for you to be using this quality of meat and how you've shaped the menu or even how you guys must be talking about using other cuts and what you're going to do with the rest of the beast.
Well, it's been really wonderful. I mean, we're getting to start with such a high-quality ingredient that, I mean, there's as long as we're taking proper care, there's not a whole lot bad we can do to it. It's pretty, mm-hmm. It's going to come out pretty well regardless.
I agree.
And it's been, I mean, Chad was touching on it earlier, but we're buying these animals whole, so we have so many opportunities to talk with them and see what we can use different parts for, and we're starting to experiment with some different items we can be running on that. We've been just, I don't know, looking around, seeing what we have available, what we can get locally, and making ultimately fairly simple dishes, just featuring these ingredients, not doing too much dressing to them, but yeah.
That's astounding. I mean, I did hear you say that you bought it all local, but I didn't even realize because, you know, Story City Locker processes from lots of different farmers, and there's still plenty of small producers who are local who are still feeding GMO corn and things like that because some people like corn-fed beef. I'm not one of them, but so I'm really thrilled that you're using that. Now, what are you doing with the hearts and the tongues and the livers and the
that all is right now still experimental. We're working on right now a special to run with some pork liver on toast. We're working on some ideas for that. We actually just got the tongue from our first four cows in.
I mean, there's only one tongue on each cow, so it's not a big deal, but I happen to love tongue.
Yeah, well, we want to, I mean, we're buying the whole animal, and we certainly want to use as much of it as possible. It's responsible stewardship. We're just trying to find little ways to integrate everything, and we're working on a cow tongue sandwich that I've been kind of working my way towards preparing the tongue finally.
Now that's something I've been a little squeamish. I pretty much eat anything.
Not me.
But see, I have met this fine woman here who knows how to cook just about anything. And yes,
I actually grew up with. Caleb and I were realizing that we're both sort of from the same part of Western Illinois very closely. And I have to say, growing up in Galesburg, Illinois, my mother, every time she could get a tongue, we cooked it. We really liked it. She just boiled it in vinegar and bay leaves and threw in an onion and vinegar and water, not just vinegar.
Yeah.
But a little, so it came out with a little pickle like that. And, you know, you cook it till it's really tender. And then Daddy's favorite was just to slice it up and eat it with horseradish. I mean, how German-American is that? So, and if you twist my arm, I might give you my pig's liver pate recipe.
I may be very interested in that.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll just have to do a little
We're sharing
together.
The wealth here.
To do that. Now,
absolutely.
Yeah, there are local ways of eating things, and we have to share all these good things. Are you educating your customers at all? As a customer that comes in and sits down, are they aware that what they're eating is local?
I mean, we do when we're training our front-of-house staff. Well, first off, we have an approach with our staff to where everybody who works in the house has to know both sides of the house. So we have folks out on the floor who might not be on the line every day, but are certainly familiar with how things run back in the kitchen. We do our best to educate on sourcing for all of our meats, for our produce, for our beers, for our liquors. We do our best to make sure that the folks who are serving you know enough about your food. And that's definitely an ongoing process.
Yes.
Yeah.
But what I love about it is the food is so kind of just good old-fashioned. You don't feel like it's exotic or unusual. It's just like, oh, wow, this is really, really good.
Yes, a menu you can recognize. I like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
Oh, you mentioned beers.
Yes.
We're talking local beers here. So, yes, talk about that.
Go ahead. Chad? Oh, I got it.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, you know him.
Let's see. We've been keeping a couple. Our tap is 10 beers?
10 beers, 9 local.
9 local. The one that isn't is from O'Dell's, which is a very high quality. But walking left on the tap from that, you've got currently an Oxpresso from Alluvial, which is wonderful, just a reliable, great, great
beer.
Yeah,
yeah, and since they're only open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, if you want an Alluvial beer
on
the rest of the
mm-hmm.
week,
yeah.
Ta-da!
Yeah.
Only place of names to get that, too.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's
Elliot,
great.
Elliot's been really great working with us on that. We've got some from Boone Valley. Which two do we have from Boone Valley right now?
We have I believe we have the Roxy Red and the, I want to say we have the IPA.
Yeah, that's the IPA is the one that we just got in.
Yep.
We've got from Confluence down in Des Moines, we've got their Farmer John and their Blue Corn Lager.
Yep, which is, yeah, it's a lighter lager that's going to be similar to a Bud Light, which would normally be a terrible flavor for me, but they do a great job, and it's a wonderful beer.
Yeah. Oh, good, you can suggest that.
And
it's like a Bud Light.
And this food goes really well with beer,
too. Oh, yeah,
so.
That's one thing we focused on, too, is trying to pair all of the liquors and wines and beers with a lot of the food that we have. Yep. So we'll be able to suggest those,
too. I noticed you had a good cocktail list, too. What's that like?
Yeah, so we've got a wide variety of martinis that actually Alex, but he and myself have been working at for...
He's your bartender, I'm guessing.
He's the co-owner.
Alex, yep. Yes.
Alex
is the mixologist.
His, yeah.
Mm, okay.
For close to 8 years now, he's been working on that list. So we have them separated out between sweet and strong martinis. There's a lot of good ones on
and
there.
You got a big bar in that place,
yes,
too.
It is a gigantic bar.
Yes.
Yep, it's beautiful.
That was from, Iowa Falls we pulled
yep,
that?
Yep, we got that at an auction in Iowa Falls.
Oh, good. A local recycling effort.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good.
Yeah,
more local. That's great.
So it's a martini bar mostly then?
I mean, we have the martinis available, but, you know, it's spread out between the wines and the beers and the martinis.
Very good. Iowa wines or just wines in general?
Wines in general.
Very good.
You know, Iowa is one of the places that they're a little behind on making some fantastic wines. There are some good places, but, you know, once we get caught up and start making wines as good as some other places, we'll absolutely start using those, too.
That's fine. I'll be working my way through your fine beers
happy
to start
beers.
With.
That's exactly.
Good.
Exactly.
That's good. I want to take a little time to mention that this is KHOI 89.1 Story City Ames and all of the nice little towns in between. Let's listen to a little music here. And this music is a golden oldie. I think it was written in... 1779, something like that. I tend to have a strange, eclectic list of music. So let's listen to Sidney Smith's March. We're back. That was a little dulcimer and violin music there by Ken Kolodner and Elka Baker, a good golden oldie. Always play those tunes. Keep them going. That was from the 18th century, actually. We're back in the kitchen. This is the Donalana Kitchen. This is Tasty Radio for the Heart of Iowa. And we are in the kitchen with some fine folks that know their way around barbecue.
Yes, we have the crew here from Battle Cry Iowa Smokehouse and Bar, which has a great new spot out in the Northern Lights Shopping Center on the north end of town. So we have Chad Watkins, who's the co-owner, and Chef Caleb Swank Ferreira. And we're going to talk about their desserts. So everything's made in-house?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Phew, phew.
And tell me about the pies. First, tell us what's on the menu, the dessert menu.
So the dessert menu is a Caleb's apple crumble served a la mode with ice cream and a little bit of cinnamon sugar on top. We've got a chocolate cheesecake with an Oreo crust.
Oh, my. Oh my.
We make a buttermilk pie, and then we make a sweet potato pie.
And tell me about your pie recipes.
So the sweet potato pie is traditional sweet potato pie. It's going to be similar ingredients to a pumpkin pie, a lot of kind of nutmeggy and cinnamon flavors. Mm-hmm. We make our own pie crust for both the pies.
And what do you make the pie crust
out of? We make the pie crust with kidney fat. So lard.
Lard. Oh, my heart be still. Lard crust pies. I'll be right over for lunch. Did you bring any for us to taste?
We did. We brought buttermilk pie and the chocolate cheesecake.
So what's the basis for the buttermilk pie recipe?
I've never heard buttermilk pie.
The buttermilk pie is a traditional southern sugar pie, sort of a dessert that you're going to make in the winter when you're down to sort of just your preserves. You don't have anything fresh. That's got...
And your cow.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, it's lemony.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's a really wonderful.
It's really like a lemon curd pie.
Yeah, it's got kind of it's got that texture to it for sure.
I was thinking it was going to be like chess pie maybe. Because it's the same ingredients but not as lemony.
Oh, gotcha.
Have you ever had chess pie?
I haven't had chess pie.
What's chess pie?
I'm not familiar.
I've heard of chess pie, okay. But I've never had chess pie.
When I was growing up in Galesburg, Illinois, we had a housekeeper from Arkansas.
Okay.
Who, since my mother was a professional woman, Annie made dinner every night. So we ate a lot of pork chops and fried chicken and chess pie. So it's very similar to this. The same kind of basis, you know, made during the time of year, you know, when you didn't have a lot of berries and stuff like that. And I had never seen it anywhere else except for Annie making it. And then I started to see it in some southern cookbooks. So it's kind of an eggy. Let's see. So what's in
custard,
this? Egg,
custard,
sugar.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's a heavy buttermilk base. And then mm-hmm. we do hand-squeeze lemons, put a little bit of lemon flavor in there. And then, yep, just egg and sugar and flour.
Just the kind of thing to end off a nice meal. That's a lovely pie.
Yeah. It is the same as chess pie, minus the lemon.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
And we serve it with a little lemon wedge on the side. Mm-hmm. So if you want just a little bit extra lemon, you can squeeze that on top.
Tell me about your crust-making process.
So it is actually a recipe from one of our kitchen cooks, and it's a lard-based recipe. Mm-hmm. And then we just, you know, mix all the cold ingredients with that, and then we actually use vodka instead of water. Keeps it nice and cold in the freezer without mm-hmm. freezing it, and just we make it nice and flaky that way, too.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Oh, it's so good.
Ha. There's no egg or egg white in the crust at all?
Correct.
So it's just the lard. Very good. Again, another shout-out to all those farmers and all those Iowa animals out there putting on fat for the winter and for the pie.
And do you know about our Iowa flour? Do you know about early morning harvest?
I'm not familiar.
Oh, boy. All right, here's one more step. You can go more local.
Okay.
In Panora is the Hafner family, and they're organic farmers. Now, an organic farmer has to have a corn, soy, and a third grain rotation. So for years, Earl and his son were growing things, you know, and trying to figure out how to market it. So finally they opened their own flour mill. So you can get really good ground corn products there, really good flours. They can mill to your specification if you want. They do deliver to Ames, I don't know, at least once or twice a week. So getting it.
Oh, wow.
I'll give you the specs.
I would love that.
Yes.
You were making more connections here.
Yeah. Because the product, I mean, having freshly ground flour is like the supreme luxury. I mean, we just don't get much of that around here.
Well, these are the kind of hints you should pass around a kitchen table. That's
mm-hmm.
good. You brought another dessert, too. Dana's already eaten this one, so.
We brought in the chocolate cheesecake.
Oh,
I'm sorry,
Lana,
we didn't have the cherry drizzle on top of it, so it's just the chocolate.
Cherry drizzle on
yep.
top of it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
Yep.
We do a cherry reduction that like, gets dressed with. It's really a nice touch on it.
Oh, boy. Mm-mm-mm. You guys are just going to have the sounds of mm-mm.
I like that we started with the desserts, too. That's the way it should be.
Oh, of course. This is a noon kitchen show. We can do anything we want. Mm-hmm. We're adults. We can start with the chocolate.
This is a lovely texture. It's still very cheesecakey without being.
It's not too dense.
No,
it isn't
like
too
about
dense.
It.
It's, no. it's fluffy.
Wow.
Good
really,
job.
Really good.
Good job.
Good job, Caleb. Wow. I hadn't
Thank
had
you.
The desserts yet, so we got to start with the desserts.
Very, very good. I'll pass it over to Dalton, our engineer, because he has to eat, too. That's good.
Well, the menu mostly consists of burgers, some meat platters.
Yep.
So you've got the briskets, the tips, the pulled pork.
Yep. We have some ham also from those pigs from Trinity. It's a wonderful Story City cures that for us. Let's see. We have some pulled chicken and some turkey as well.
Oh, right. I forgot about your poultry.
Yep. We do a little bit of poultry, and we're still working on the local sourcing for that. So if anybody's got some chickens they'd love to sell us, and we would love to buy some chickens.
Probably Cindy Madsen.
Oh, we'll connect him up with
something. Yeah. We know a few chicken people.
All right.
Yeah. And this is really, I have to say, I'm so excited. This is really Iowa food. It's the kind of stuff that I grew up with in the Midwest. It's eater friendly.
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
And you're talking about meat platters. They're the one that I kind of now wish I would have brought. We have a chicken fried steak on the menu with some of that from Taman Grand Junction, some of that beef.
So what cut do you use for a chicken fried steak?
That we're using
cube steak.
We're using, coming out of the chuck?
Yeah,
coming out of the chuck for that. And that's just a really wonderful, just simple buttermilk and flour batter with this delicious gravy that I learned.
Do you pound it? How do you tenderize it?
Story City sort of pre-tenderizes it for us, and then we have a tenderizer that we use in-house to get it out just a little thinner before we batter and fry it. And then, that comes with my sausage gravy on it, which is a really, I think, wonderful, rich, like, pepper
sausage
forward.
Gravy. I haven't had that
it's
yet.
It's very peppery, and it's delicious.
Wonderful.
I am not afraid of pepper or butter, and there's a heck of a lot in that gravy.
Oh, good. I'm with you, Caleb. Oh, boy.
Barbecue is a real... it's a point of pride for many people, and different parts of the country have different kind of traditions of barbecue. How does Iowa barbecue distinguish itself from other kinds of barbecue around the country?
Well, we have sort of this luxury when you're in, Carolinas or in Oklahoma or in Texas or in any of these barbecue capitals, there's so much history laid out for you that you can get boxed in to sort of this not dogma, but to these traditions that can be binding. So we have Iowa barbecue isn't really a thing that immediately it doesn't bring like a hard set of parameters to mind. So we sort of get to play around. We get to borrow from these different cultures.
Except for one thing, Caleb.
Yes.
Your food tastes like exactly what I grew up with, and I'm a good probably 50 years older than you. So we're getting some tradition here.
Gotcha.
Let's try some of this stuff. They brought in all kinds of these
things. Do you want to try the barbecue or the burgers first?
Let's try the burgers because I've had the barbecue, so
all right.
Naturally.
So this first one we've got is our smoked maple barbecue burger.
Smoked maple barbecue burger.
Yep.
Lana, what do you think? Oh, it's beautiful.
It's almost like a dessert burger. It's really sweet.
This is a sweet burger. It's got a maple syrup barbecue sauce that I make. It's got this one actually has some of those wonderful red onions.
Tropea onions.
Yep. And some bacon that we cure and smoke in-house.
Those, I mean, this doesn't even need ketchup.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, it's got the caramelized red onion and bacon. It's got some smoked cheddar on it, and it's got that sauce. It's just a really wonderful, simple burger.
How do we make our cheddar smoke?
Once we have our new smoker built, then we will have the opportunity with a cold smoker to start smoking some of that in-house. But right now, we're having to buy it smoked.
Wow. It's hard to imagine that there's room for improvement, but it sounds like there's going to be a lot going on.
Yep.
This is, you know, one of the things I really, and this may seem absurd, but one of the things I really like to go out to eat is a good burger. Because when you make them at home, you know, I don't always bother to do all the trimmings and the fried onions and the, you know, so, because it's a lot of hassle for just one or two people. But,
yeah.
Oh, boy, this is wonderful. I'm so excited. I can't believe it. There's a restaurant that I can go whose standards are the same as I would have at home, I have to say. And I'm pretty difficult that way. So, wow. So what other burgers do you have on the menu?
Well, with the other our other beef burgers, we've got a bacon Swiss guac, which is how we refer to it, the BSG, that is actually our owner, Alex, is that was a...
Bacon Swiss guac.
Yep,
okay.
A commission from him, and that uses actually, instead of a guacamole, a guasacaca, like a Venezuelan avocado-based sort of hot sauce, which is essentially just a guacamole with some of the ratios retooled and blended to where it's pretty stable for more than a day, which it has over guacamole, which is nice.
So is it... more vinegary or something? Is that what's...
Yep. There's a bit more vinegar in that that's sort of holding it together. So it gets that on it. It gets some of our, again, house-cured and smoked bacon. It gets some really lovely tomatoes that we get from Salama. It gets some red onion and some Swiss. I think that's the whole thing.
Sorry, I can't pile much more of that on there. That's a pretty big burger.
Deconstructed this burger and just pulled out a bite of just the hamburger itself. It's really, really lovely.
Oh, yeah. And that is something we want to put a lot of attention and love into. That's got our good local ground beef from Tama Grand Junction. That's got some of our brisket ground up into it. We actually smoke some of the brisket before we grind it up and mix it in. It's got some of our house-made barbecue sauce. It's got a little bit of molasses and some seasoning in it. We want to basically, if you got just the burger patty on a plate, you'd still be happy with it.
And so what size patty are you using here?
1/3 pound.
Yeah.
Just a standard 1/3 pound.
A good, nice one, yeah.
Yeah, won't put you to sleep by the time you're out the door, but enough to definitely know you ate it.
And I have to say, even on your sandwich platters, which I've come in for twice, it's a nice portion. It's just enough to really suit you and not make you want to, like, hold your stomach on the way out.
Yeah.
It's reasonable.
Yeah, the goal is to use high-quality ingredients, high-quality food, not something that you're... We're not trying to just totally fill you up and have you leave with a bunch of leftovers.
Good. It's really good.
Do you serve any lamb?
Yes.
You do.
I actually have a lamb burger with us.
Speaking of. And is that locally sourced?
That is locally sourced.
Oh, really?
Ty and Bobby at Story City actually just got us connected with a new source, and I haven't been able to visit with that farm yet, so I'm not sure exactly where it is.
I do like lamb. That's good.
This comes with a cranberry mint chutney on the bottom side.
You start with the lamb. That looks really wonderful.
Lovely. I have a small farm.
Yes.
And a friend is keeping some sheep on the farm, but lambs. There'll be lamb chops in the fall. And so... I'm looking at them, and I'm looking forward to lamb chops. 3 cheers for local lambs.
Yes. So that'll have a cranberry mint chutney on the bottom there for you, and a grilled feta patty on the top.
Oh, my. What do you think?
Still integrates some of that brisket to keep the fat content nice and juicy in the patty.
Oh, so you're putting some beef into the lamb burger?
There's a little bit in there, yeah.
Well, the idea of putting a cranberry chutney on there. Mm-hmm. And what kind of cheese on it?
Feta cheese. That is a grilled feta patty.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's delicious.
Well, good idea.
It must
be fun to cook.
It's a little bit, yeah. It's a good time.
I'll say it's fun.
Asking Donna, of course, she says it's fun. But yes, but having lovely ingredients, so when you put this out and take it out to the people, you're going to get smiles.
Yeah. Now, are you guys set up with catering packages and stuff like that? Because who wouldn't want this for a party?
Yep, we are. Yeah. You know, we want to make sure we've got everything in the restaurant nailed down pat, and we're doing everything perfect in there. But yeah, you know, with barbecue, a lot of people like to do caters. So we're working our way towards making a standard for how we do caters as well.
I can see a lot of graduation parties in your future.
We've done one wedding as well so far.
Oh yeah. Yep. Why not?
And I hope the couple is still together. I
mean, yes, they are. Absolutely.
Off to a good start, anyway.
It took good. You're listening to the Donalana Kitchen on KHOI 89.1 Story City, Ames. We'll go to a nice waltz now. Back. This is the Donalana Kitchen. That was called Allison's Waltz. One should have a waltz every now and then. I hope you grabbed your cat and were dancing around your kitchen table there. We are in the kitchen with the fine guys from Battle Cry, Iowa Smokehouse and Bar. And, well, Donna is just in seventh heaven here. We are tasting food.
They brought half the restaurant menu with them, and it is just, I have to say, I went, I don't know, I think last Friday, and it was so good, I went back once again, and then I thought, we gotta talk about this really, really good food. So, Chef Caleb and I were just discussing the lovely people at Story City Locker just brought in a very unusual, for a processing plant that size, they bought a new piece of equipment, and folks, it's a major investment. I mean, you can't even imagine. It's called a scalder. But what it's for, Caleb and I said, oh, a scalder. Yes, we're really, really excited.
And I said, what? I don't understand. So, okay, please explain.
There are bits of pigs and other animals, too, that require, for sanitation purposes, a certain cleaning process, which is scalding. Mm-hmm. And those bits are things like feet. And I have to say, and since I have many, many cooking years on Caleb, this is a long story, but I've never been able to cook a pig's foot because they're very hard to find. Most rendering houses, especially smaller rendering houses where they would have the kind of pig that you would actually want to eat the foot, are not equipped with this, and so they just throw them out.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think. We are in the middle of Iowa here. Shortage of pig's feet, this is not good.
Oh, there's plenty of them, but the shortage of processed pig's feet that are clean to the sanitary requirements that you need. It's so when are you getting one?
When are we getting a scalder or a pig's
foot? No, a pig's foot. You don't need one. We got one. Only one scalder per community. That's even a luxury item. So,
I'm not sure. I've been looking forward
to... It's probably the next thing we get from them, actually.
I've been looking forward to get some ears and some feet for a while.
I've cooked ears. Oh, I've cooked ears.
What does one do with an ear?
You could make... there's actually a recipe I've been eyeing that is one of April Bloomfield's that is a really wonderful salad that gets a fried pig's ear in it, which it looks very interesting.
You cut it up in little strips.
Yeah, yeah.
After you fried it and prepared it the way that you want, so that the ear is not sitting on the plate, basically.
Yeah. We talked about the scalder as being a major investment. That's a major investment for a locker. Starting any restaurant is a major leap of faith. My goodness sakes. Chad, how did you get... have you been in this business a long time? What made you leap into this business?
I've been in Ames and working in restaurants for the last 15 years, and that's just something I love doing, and it's something that I wanted to dedicate my whole life to. So having an opportunity to do all local foods and...
That's about what it takes.
Exactly.
You have to dedicate your whole life to
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I worked for the Eurostand for a lot of years, and it's a small group of people with a great kind of following and community to it. And I thought, this can happen in a large-scale restaurant. So we put a lot of faith in our employees and in the people who work for us, and we want to make that kind of environment for all the people that come work for us, too.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is a history. All those little gyro stands that, well, they popped up, and it was a brand-new thing at the time. And now there's all kinds of... food trucks and food stands. The leading edge sort of thing now. It's really nice. And it turns into other things. It's nice to have a restaurant that has that same sort of feeling. That's great. We've got more things to taste. Talk more about food. Talk more about food.
We've also got we've got a sliced brisket and a sliced pork loin. What I love about this brisket is we don't do barely anything to it.
Oh my!
That is much more Texas style.
Salt and pepper. We really want the local meat to come through on this.
So it's really all about your smoking process.
Correct.
Then.
Yep. Yeah, and we use hickory wood for the smoking.
Oh, wow.
So it's just all about timing and make sure it all gets tenderized the right way.
Wow! Very, very nice, Lon. I have a little.
Speaking of local, where does one get hickory wood?
We use a gentleman. His name is Darwin Isles, and he provides us with all the hickory wood that we could manage. So I'm not exactly sure where he lives.
somewhere in Iowa.
Somewhere
right?
in Iowa.
Close
yes.
enough to drive.
Yep, exactly.
So he's got his very own hickory forest.
Yes. Yep.
Good. are you smoking something every day, or is it a continuing process, or once a week, or how often do you do this?
There is a couple hours during the day in which food is not being smoked, but in general, usually starts about 2:30 in the morning is when we get the brisket in, because we smoke it fresh every day, and it takes that long to get it ready for lunch.
Oh, my. Yeah. And when this smoker is working, can you put other things in with it, or don't you want to mix the flavors? I mean, if you're smoking something else.
Yep. So it's all with hickory wood. So and the meat itself, you can put different varieties of food in there, and it won't alter the flavors. We have it's probably about 11 feet long and about 4 feet tall. So it can handle quite a bit of meat in there at one time.
Can you do a whole pig in it?
You could. You'd have to take out all the grates to make it happen, but you could definitely do a whole.
So should
there.
I?
Done it.
Yep.
It was a heavy lift.
Yep.
Oh, goody! That's it. That's a big community asset to have a place, because there are occasions
mm-hmm.
when a whole pig is called for.
Absolutely.
Wow.
I wish there were more occasions.
We're working on that. Don't worry about it, because I mean, often the stumbling block has been, well, I don't know anybody that's got a big enough space to do
mm-hmm.
a regular pig. I mean, I know Mary Ann's, which is up in Webster City, they do a lot of bacon and stuff for Nyman Ranch. They can pull it off. I've seen them do some Nyman Ranch events, and it's gorgeous. They smoke it in Webster City, and then wherever you want, they're bringing it in the back of the pickup, and they got a huge, what is it, 4x8 piece of plywood, and they slide the whole pig off, and then they unveil it, and it's split in half, and it's mm-hmm, just mm-hmm. mahogany, golden. Nyman Ranch does that for their, they do a farmer's appreciation meal once a year, and they bring in chefs from all over the country. And a gasp goes up when these
it's a wonderful
see
sight.
This.
Oh, and these are farmers. Yeah. They know they're pigs. Yes.
Yeah.
So we can do this here in Ames.
I think we need to set a date for that.
Yeah.
Oh, sounds good to me.
Oh, sounds wonderful.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. Getting together for a barbecue, roasting some sort of flesh, gathers people, and the festival atmosphere is always a good thing. Yeah, and something about, well, think of the Christmas pig with the apple in its mouth. And actually, I'm part of a family reunion that has a lot of people like to cook and barbecue. And there's also a lot of guys.
This is Missouri people.
Missouri people. There's also a lot of guys at this family reunion that know their way around metal and welding torches. And they built a cooker that takes a whole pig, because it's a big, big family. No problem getting rid of it. But instead of just kind of, a cooker, they turned the thing into a scale model steam engine train. And, I mean, it just way too much fuss.
This is the creative Lynch family here.
Yeah, yeah. They just kind of go nuts down there. And, yeah, so it's something, it's not just about the barbecue, it's about the camaraderie around the whole thing. Yes, it is.
I'm guessing you guys must have a good time in your kitchen.
Yeah, yeah. It's a pretty fun place to be. A little warm,
but a great place to be.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
So you've got one last box.
Got one more.
What's
and this is
that?
The sliced pork loin. This one we do sliced add our loin. Own signature dry rub to it.
Oh, so these are, and these come served on a platter, and then the barbecue sauce is on the side,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
So
we always do barbecue on the side.
Ooh, is
another
that
thing
a beauty?
We borrow from
Look
Texas.
At that.
Yeah.
Tell me about a dry rub. I read about that in recipes. What is a dry rub?
Don't taste this, Lana, and you'll get the idea.
Okay, well, yeah, but
just a mixture of certain spices. What we use for a lot of ours is paprika, because it'll give it a nice texture.
Color,
because it won't soak into the meat.
See how it's just on the edge like that? But the flavor, it goes in a little. And it's called dry rub because it's all dry spices. I mean, no liquid like
Correct.
A barbecue
mm-hmm.
sauce or anything. So it's not, it's dry rub as opposed to a basting or a saucing kind of thing.
Thank you. And one.
This is really
one
wonderful.
When does one apply a dry rub?
You rub it.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. It's you just rub
really
it on top
it
of the meat. Yeah.
Into the skin.
Massage it in there a little
before
bit.
Before you put it in. Or do you
Correct.
Put,
yep, absolutely.
Oh, it's not continually added.
Yep, mm-hmm. You want to put it in raw. It's different than, if you were basting it or, mm-hmm. A lot of with barbecue sauce, you'll kind of get a big old mop and just mop it as it's going to keep it moist. But with the dry rub, you add it on raw and just let it soak into the meat.
Ah.
Yep.
Well, so you show up every night at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Correct.
This is true 7 days a week?
Chad doesn't sleep. Yes. He just doesn't.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, you have to be careful with him. I was listening to an interview last night. Arianna Huffington has a new book on sleep deprivation and how it's not good for you.
I've got lots of help, so I'll keep an eye on it for sure.
Oh, good.
Do you put it on and go to sleep?
Oh, yeah. I sleep sometimes if I just got to throw beef in, and then I'll just take a little bit of nap on there.
Good. So think of that, Central Iowa. There's someone.
That's dedication.
Yes. There's someone seeing to our needs early in the morning. Three cheers for all the people
that's
that
earlier
have
than
restaurants.
The bakers, even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Restaurants, bakers, all those fine folks. And it's local, too. I want to thank you for being part of our Donna Lana Kitchen today. Thanks for being here, Chad and
yum,
Caleb.
Yum, yum, yum.
Thank you for having
Thank
us.
Thank you.
I can tell I've found some new playmates.
Oh, we can share recipes. We'd love to do that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, Donna may be sticking her head in your kitchen every now and then, giving some maybe unsolicited advice.
Oh, yeah, I'm really good. I'm famous for that.
Good.
Hey, try
that's
this.
Good.
What did you think about? I mean, I do have a lot of years under my belt here.
Yeah.
And a good
taster, too. Good. I want to mention some upcoming things. Upcoming next week on this very show, Donna is going to have a report on cheese.
Oh, yes. I did over the weekend. I went to the American Cheese Society event that was held in Des Moines this year. And OMG is all I can say. We're going to have the two cheese buyers from Wheatsfield who also went to the event. And the three of us are going to bring in some cheese samples and talk about cheeses.
Sounds like quite a to-do.
Another more to... what do you think? Those are our best radio sounds.
You wouldn't think that radio would be good for tasting, but we're doing it in your stead here. Oh, also, another thing I would like to mention, this very fine radio station, this community radio station, is having a birthday. We'll be celebrating our four-year anniversary. Come and join us August 13th for our 4B celebration, which includes birthday, basketball, books, and barbecue. Some of that, too. This event takes place at our station. There'll be some live music. You can find us at 410 Douglas Avenue in downtown Ames. Join us for a day of fun. And, by the way, the books are piling up, folks. That's one of my interests. And if you have books to donate, bring them down to the station.
I do. I'm going to clean out my cookbook section.
There you go.
I don't need as many as I used to think I needed.
Bring them down. Yes, yes. So, we've been talking about local barbecue, sourcing local, eating local, and enjoying ourselves. You've been listening to the Donalana Kitchen. We get together every Tuesday here, and we're repeated Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Go to KHOIFM.org to find out about this radio station, and you can find our magic webpage there. You can pull it down, find Donalana Kitchen. All our shows are archived, so you can go back and find all sorts of good things. And we have a recipe page. And as soon as I can nudge Donna enough, we get a new recipe every now and then. So there's a lot of good stuff there. Lots of good stuff.
Maybe we'll have to get the buttermilk pie recipe chocolate cheesecake recipe.
Very good. Support this fine radio station. Support local farmers and support local business. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We've had excellent engineering by Dalton Gackle and lots of good things to eat today.
Yes, and thank you, Battle Cry Iowa Smokehouse and Bar.
Eat good food and enjoy life.